from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Talks true, live from the booth, always just 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twisted features, all like nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tune in to the radio. Tina talks truth, it's the only way to go.
Good morning. It's Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. And happy Wednesday to you. You know, they call it hump day for a reason, because this is the peak. It's all because of this radio show. So I'm so grateful that you're tuning in and that you're listening to Tina Talks Truth. Our special guest today is Mark Anthony Garrett. He's a professional motivational speaker, an author, and an entrepreneur. And I'm going to just tell you right now, get a piece of paper and a pen or pencil, computer, your phone, a typewriter. Do people still use typewriters? I don't know. But if you want to take notes, you're going to want to take notes. I'm just going to put it like that. You're going to want to take notes. I took 2 pages of notes, people, while interviewing him. He is incredible. Such an inspiration. Talks a lot about overcoming adversities. Yeah. You're going to want to tune in and listen. His interview actually brought me to Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wise in later life. One of the just most special things I think that Mark Anthony Garrett actually does is he gives appreciation to his third grade teacher. So all of you teachers, this is like perfect timing because I know y'all are going back to school. I know you just had summer. I know you get a little time off during the summer, but it's not enough because you teachers, you put your hearts, your souls, everything that you got. And I know you open your wallets and your purses and you just freely give with materials and love, unconditional love. And that's what Mark talks about during this interview is how his third grade teacher actually just introduced him to how to value himself and unconditional love, and that she didn't allow any excuses to hold him back. It's just so inspirational. You gotta listen to this interview. But first, I want to pray for all of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for breath. We thank you for another day that you're actually going to bless us with mercy. I fail you daily, God, and I just thank you for your mercy every day. I ask for a hedge of protection around Mark and his family and my listeners, Lord, that you keep them safe. Any youth that are starting school, that God, you are their armor, and that you will cover their minds and their ears and their eyes and their hearts of any hurt that may come forth towards them, and that the armor of God is placed over them every day, God, that you keep them safe in our schools. We lift up all of the teachers. Thank you, teachers. We know that you give unconditional love and that you give just your heart and your souls to these children. And just like Mark's testimony and my professor in college, she really made a difference in my life. And you know, if you're a teacher or professor, God, please just touch their hearts and let them know how much they are appreciated. And we lift you up today, all of you teachers. And we thank you. We thank you for your positive words that you plant in each side of these children. We thank you for your unconditional love. And we thank you for believing in us when we don't believe in ourselves. And God, we just ask for discernment. And we just ask that we keep you first, that we are second, and that everything in our life is done for you, God. All of our purpose is done for your will and your plan. And please grant us patience. Patience that we are tuned to your perfect timing, God, in everything in our lives. And we thank you for another day. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Mark Anthony Garrett. His website is www.teachers.com. ourheroes.com. Gotta check him out. If you want a motivational speaker, this is your man. Here's Mark.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. We have a very special and motivational guest, inspirational guest, I should say, Mark Anthony Garrett. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am awesome, doing awesome.
Yay! Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And I'm just so excited that we have connected. We were just chatting it up beforehand about, I traced it back, I think it was 2013, when I actually first met you and you were a speaker at a conference. So Mark is actually a professional speaker, an author, an entrepreneur, and a Mount Whitney climber, right?
Yes, that is correct.
I saw those pictures, man. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
That is just incredible. And so we'll get to that in a little bit. But so I did, I saw you speak, and it was actually a conference, I believe, with youth that were in foster care. And so as a former foster and adoptive child, of course, your story just like shook me to the core, being a therapeutic foster parent to a teenage son for a year and a half, but also just because of my, you know, past of being in social work and that. And it was just so motivational. And so if you could share with our audience your story of how it all began, how you ended up in foster care, and then you were adopted.
That is correct. My mother, unfortunately, had, you know, some issues and some challenges, and she decided that it would be best, because she had another child, my older brother, 1 year older than me, and myself at the time, and she decided that she would place me up for adoption and keep my brother. So about 2.5 hours after I was born, I was in the hands of Children's Services, and I spent about 7 years in foster care and was adopted by my last set of foster parents, and I got my name, you know, Mark Anthony Garrett. And it was a challenging journey, but both my foster parents were really good people. They were what we call old school. My adoptive father was born in 1918. My adoptive mother was born in 1930. So it was, you know, growing up with old school rules, old school values. My father was a blue collar worker and just really, you know, kind of taught me the value of hard work and perseverance. And, you know, he was an ex-Marine, fought in World War II. And pretty much that's kind of how I got into the foster care system. And then, you know, eventually, you know, adopted. So it was an interesting journey.
And I actually came across a quote that I found that you actually quoted, "If you serve God first, you'll never come in second." I just love that. And I love that not only do you put God first, but that you'll never come in second. That is just so powerful. How did you come about that quote? And how do youth in foster care embrace that?
Well, you know, it's funny you ask that question, because actually I heard it from somebody else. I was actually at a conference. I can't remember what conference I was at, but I remember hearing that quote. And it just kind of resonated with me, because as a little kid at the age of 8, my mother introduced me to Jesus Christ, introduced me to church. So I had some challenges and some trials and tribulations. But after my mother passed away and I turned 18, and I was kind of like, as I call it, at my abyss, I was at the end of my road and actually had contemplated suicide. Thankfully didn't carry that through, but it was a foundation that my mother had set when I was 8 years old, where I was able to reintroduce myself to God. And I remember, you know, once I did that, I always noticed that a lot of my friends and people around me weren't succeeding, and I was. And I didn't really understand what that was, but I didn't realize at that time that God had a covering on my life, like he has a covering on everyone's life. I mean, we're all here, I think, for two primary reasons. First, to discover what our purpose is, and then to serve on purpose. And that whole time that I was going through the trials and tribulations, you know, God was right there. And I just remember always at the end of my trials and tribulations, always somehow finding a way to win. And I attributed it back to putting God first. I said, man, the more I put him first, you know, I never did come in second. Even though it may seem like I came in second, or people who are going through adversity, it seems like they come in second. But if you truly put God first, and you put that belief in him and understanding that he's always with you, and you put him first and you have that faith and that absolute belief, then I personally believe that you'll never come in second. Because I think that God will always elevate you to that next highest level. And at the end of the day, if you're truly putting him first and having that faith, you'll win. You know, you may not come when you want it to come, but you will not come in last. And that's just my personal belief.
Absolutely. And I love how you said about the trials and tribulations, and that you had that core, that foundation that your adoptive mother actually instilled in you at a young age. And it's just, you know, she planted that seed, and then it just kept flourishing and flourishing and to the, you know, unbelievable man that you are today. And through those trial and tribulations, just keeping focused on God. And, you know, I agree with you that about the purpose, to find our purpose, but also to serve and help others. And, you know, brother, you have helped me tremendously over the years. You have no idea. And I thank you for that. One of your other quotes I love is, "Sometimes the best way to give back is to pass a blessing on to another person and ask them to do the same." I just love that. And that's totally you. That's exactly what you're all about, on stage and off stage. So thank you for that.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. That's what it's all about. You know, when you're blessed in your life, you got to be willing to pass that blessing on to someone else and ask them to do the same thing. Because I personally believe that whatever we want most in life, we got to give it away. You want more love? Be willing to give it away. You want more money? Be willing to give it away. That's where the aspect of tithing comes in. If you want more happiness, be willing to give more happiness away by being a happy person, by being a joyous person. And that's just how the world works. It's how the universe works. You know, I think the universe is nothing but a mere copying machine, and whatever we put out there is going to come back. That's what we call karma. So the one thing my mother instilled in me was to always make sure that you do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I know it sounds like an old cliche, but it is so true and it works so well. Whatever you want most in your life, be willing to give that away so you can open yourself up like a vessel to be able to receive the thing in which you're giving away.
Yes, you got to give it to get it, right?
Yes, that is correct. Absolutely. Yes.
And I know that there was a very instrumental woman that was your teacher. Was it second grade? Which grade was it?
I have a third grade.
Third grade. Okay. And this third grade teacher, and she really taught you about love and happiness and valuing yourself. Can you share with our audience that story? I just love it.
Yeah, absolutely. When I got to the third grade, I was having a real difficult time, and I was held back and placed in special education. And I remember how devastating that was because, you know, back in those days, you know, there was no IEPs, there was no intervention. It was just those kids, you know, those weird kids or those retarded kids or the kids who rode the short bus. And that's some of the language that they use, brutal and harsh. But I remember stepping into that third grade special education classroom, and Miss Ritchie came in, and she had this love and this excitement and this passion. And we felt that. And we all looked around like, you know, who was this woman? Because she talked to us about love and hope and about resiliency. And I remember she says, if you're a male, you're a king. And if you're a female, you're a queen. And this is our kingdom. And she says, I bow before royalty. And she bowed before us. And we were kind of blown away. Like, who is this woman bowing to us? But what she taught us was all about servant leadership. She taught us about love and resiliency. And she was the one who really was the catalyst that kind of taught all of us to give the very best that we had. Because, you know, especially like kids, we had, you know, different types of issues and setbacks and poor self-esteem and things of that nature. But she held us up to a higher standard, and she said, it doesn't matter what people call you. All that matters is what you answer to. And it doesn't matter where you are right now. All that matters is where you're going. And so what she did for us, she taught us and she motivated us based on our internal potential. So even though she knew that she was dealing with broken children, she never treated us like broken children, and she did not, and I repeat this, she did not let the fact that we were special ed kids give us an excuse to not perform or to not raise that level of expectation. And when we came into her classroom, we were expected to perform, and we did it because somebody believed in us and somebody really cared about us, and she was the catalyst that totally changed my whole life. As a matter of fact, I believe that if she had not been in my life, I would probably either be dead, I would probably be in prison, or probably not living a good life. I know that for a fact. So for those people who are listening, I want you to realize one thing, that one heart can make a difference, and your presence in someone's life or in a child's life or a relative's life or just anybody's life, if you are there to make a positive difference, you could truly be that person or that entity that totally shifts someone's life forever in the better. That it could be one word, it could be one hug, it could be one embrace, it could be just your presence and seeing that person and letting them know that, hey, I believe in you, I care about you, and you can make it. And for me, as a young 8-year-old boy, that made all the difference, totally changed my life.
And where can the audience actually find that video of you meeting with her? Is that on YouTube?
Oh, absolutely. If they go to YouTube and type in Mark Anthony Garrett, Teachers Are Heroes, that video will pop up, and they can watch that video. It's about a 7-minute video where I actually went back and found her after 30 years to thank her for what she had did for me, what she had did for all the children that she has served, and just to let her know that her life was not in vain, that she truly made a difference, and I benefited from that. So actually, that video actually shows me going back and just paying homage to the lady that changed my life.
And it is so special. I'm telling you, people, get your tissues because I cry every time I watch it. It is just so special. It is just the best, especially when you're holding her hand and, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
It's so special, and especially for those of us that had that one adult mentor, you know, and that's what statistics and research proves is these youth. As youth, we just need one positive adult mentor just to speak life into us. And it sounds like that's exactly what that third grade teacher did. So God bless her. How sweet.
Yes,
if you had a message right now to youth in foster care that are struggling, or maybe youth in foster care that are in homeless shelters, I have some past students that listen to my show and, you know, youth that I used to work with and that. And what kind of advice or what suggestions would you give them? What kind of encouragement?
Well, first of all, I would tell them that they're here for a purpose and that their situation that they're in currently does not determine their long-term value in their life. That this temporary inconvenience, this temporary setback does not have to be the be-all, end-all of their life, that they can change. They can flip it. And if they take the situation and they flip it, and what I mean by flipping it is that they flip that situation and let that situation be a platform for them to stand on so they can, you know, share with the world their voice. I want them to know that they're not a mistake. I want them to know that they're here for something bigger, that they're here for a grand purpose. And even though things may not be the way they want it to be now, first of all, it's not their fault, and they can survive this. And they will survive this, but they've got to choose that. They've got to want that. They've got to understand that despite their situation, they have the power to make a difference in the world, that they are not a mistake, that they are here for something bigger than themselves, that they have a voice that the world needs here. And I would tell all foster kids to love themselves, to look in the mirror and look at themselves like they've never looked at themselves before, and just tell themselves that they are worthy, tell themselves that they love themselves, and let themselves know that they're okay. Because a lot of foster kids feel broken, a lot of foster kids feel disconnected, but I want every foster kid to know that they're not a mistake, that they can make it, and they have the power to change the world.
Amen. That is so true. And you know what I was just thinking about is, you know, here you were a third grader in special ed, and you actually went on through college and received numerous degrees. Right.
Well, I have a degree in wildlife biology. I've got a degree in entrepreneurship, and I have some studies in organization communication. So I had a chance to go back to school. I worked for an organization called the Civilian Conservation Corps. It was a program that was started in the 1930s by President Roosevelt during the Great Depression. And I participated in the program in Ohio and then had a chance to go out to California and spend 6 months and the beautiful mountains of Inyo Yosemite and climb Mount Whitney. I mean, just did a lot of backcountry trail construction, made the environment better. And it gave me a sense of peace, gave me a sense of pride. I always asked myself, you know, when I was in the backcountry, you know, how does a young inner city black kid from the hood end up on top of a mountain? How does that happen? And I remember standing on top of that mountain, and a voice came to me, and it simply says, because somebody told you that you could. And it totally, totally changed my whole life. And even today, as an adult, I think back on those days, and it still inspires me to know that I had people in my life who believed in me when I couldn't believe in myself, and it made all the difference in the world, all the difference.
Oh, that's powerful, because someone told you that you could. Oh, that's really powerful, and it's so true that when people stand in that gap for us and they believe in us when we don't believe in ourselves, or they love us when we're not able to love ourselves just yet, you know, that makes all the difference, and it's just wonderful, and what a blessing. Yeah, I ask all of my guests just 4 questions. What brings you hope?
What brings me hope? When I see people have breakthroughs, you know, when I see people that are in one place and through something that maybe I do or something that affects their life, that they change, they shift, they have that switch that goes off in their mind, and they have that aha moment, and they're able to overcome that obstacle or to figure something out or to know that, you know, they're not a mistake. And for me, hope has 2 meanings, H-O-P-E. First meaning is H-O-P-E, helping one person every day or helping other people excel. That's what hope really means. And if you can just help other people excel or at least help one person every day through what it is that you do, through your service, through your purpose, as I said earlier, and serving on purpose, you can change the world and change people's lives in the process.
Oh, I love it. Help other people every day. Okay,
yes.
How about joy? Where do you find joy?
God, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, you know, you always have to turn back to Him. You always have to turn back to that higher power. And depending on, you know, people's religion, you know, I believe in God. There's a higher power, and that brings me joy. What brings me joy is seeing people smile, seeing children succeed, you know, seeing the world in a better place, seeing humanity do good things and do good deeds. You know, I think we live in a world that sometimes can be so putrid and so negative, and we always have to be looking for that one thing that we can do. We don't like our situation. What can we do to make a difference? What can we do to make a change? What can we do to make the world a better place? So that brings me ultimate joy. But of course, God is the center of my joy in everything that I do.
Awesome. How important is laughter?
Laughter is like oxygen. You need it, you know. And even when I stand on stage, if you can make people laugh or you can bring people joy, that's what it's all about. You know, and that's what I try to do in my speeches and my writings, just bring people joy. And laughter is so important. I try to laugh every day. You know, my wife says you're a big jokester, and I've got her laughing and the kids laugh. But I think that's good. And I think it's good for the body. It's good for the mind. But the most important thing laughter does is good for the spirit. And it raises that spirit up, and it just helps you to have a greater and happier spirit when you can laugh and find joy in your life, you know, through laughter and just having fun. I think we live life, we're so serious, we need to learn to have more fun, you know?
Absolutely, and laughter, you know, they say it actually makes you look younger. I mean, I'm 72 years old, and I don't know if you've seen a picture of me lately. Like, I look young.
72, huh? Okay, all right.
That's all the laughing. All the laughing I've done all
right.
These years. I look like I'm 42, but I'm really 72.
So
we're going to shift gears and just talk about, or how does one know that they're healing or that they've been healed from a past of abuse?
That's a good question. I think one knows when they're healing by how they respond to that trauma. You know, for a long time, you know, as a foster kid, you know, growing up and having the trials and tribulations, you know, from the sexual abuse to the domestic violence, you know, physical abuse, you know, I knew that I was overcoming that when it didn't dominate me anymore, when I was able to look at it from a different vantage point and find appreciation in it. Now, I know that sounds totally crazy, but when you can find appreciation in your adversity, and through your trials and tribulations, I think that's where you start to master them. Because, you know, a lot of times people ask themselves, well, why did this happen to me? Or, oh, poor me. Or why is my life so terrible? And I always challenge people and suggest to people to ask themselves these questions. When, first of all, let me say this. We should never go through any adversity, but we should always grow through the adversity. And when you can grow through it and ask yourself questions like, okay, this negative thing happened to me, what can I learn from that? How can I use this adversity to better myself? What life lessons are in that? And understanding that sometimes adversity doesn't come into our life to stifle us, but sometimes adversity comes into our life to build us up, to encourage us. And you realize that pressure, when there's a lot of pressure in your life, sometimes that could be a good thing. Because you look at it like this, the diamond that people have in their rings and in their earrings and they wear on their finger all came about through pressure. Millions of years of pressure, you know, turn into that coal and you dig that diamond out, you know. And I think we're all like that as human beings. We're all here for something bigger. And if we can look at ourselves kind of like a piece of coal and understand that sometimes life is not always going to be the way we want it to be, but inside that coal, if we kind of shave all that away, there's a diamond on the end. And that diamond is your presence. That diamond is your life. The diamond is the fact that you showed up on this planet for something bigger. And the fact that you're here validates that you're here for something bigger. There are no mistakes in the world. Everything happens for a reason. And so for me, that's just personally what brings me, you know, just the greatest amount of joy and just understanding that, hey, if I can overcome these adversities through truly changing my outlook on it and ask myself a different set of questions, I think that's where the victory comes. But for each person is different. But I think when they're able to kind of look at it from a different vantage point and find joy in it and appreciation from it, then I think that we're able to start to master it. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, and it doesn't mean that even 20 years you're not going to have something where something may trigger, you may think back, something to happen, but it doesn't dominate you the way it once did. And I think if we can get to that point, I think that's where true life victory comes.
Oh, I love it. True life victory. In the appreciation of adversity, one of the things I always say is, I know that I have forgiven someone when I want to send them a thank you card. and I truly mean it, you know, like, thank you. Thank you for, you know, whatever it was, the hurt or whatever it was that they, the adversity that I went through with that person. And I'm talking, you know, my perpetrators, abusers and all that. And when I feel like, okay, you know what, I could sit down, I could write a thank you card to them because I am stronger. And I like how you said about to grow through the adversity. And, you know, some of us with all the adversities we've been through, we should be 10 feet tall by now.
Right.
Yes. But I do. I agree. I think that healing and forgiveness and all that, there, when you come to have an appreciation for that adversity, that's just unbelievable. And it's great because we do. We grow from it and we just keep going. And then we're able to help others. And that goes back to what you said about, you know, finding our purpose and then serving others. How can we pray for you, Mark?
You know what? You can pray for me by just asking, you know, the Lord to protect me and my family, to give me the discernment to continue to do His will and to always strive to put Him first and put myself second, because it's really not about me. It's not about us. It's about working through our life and our purpose to better serve Him. And I would just ask you to continue to pray for me to have greater revelations and greater products and services that I can provide to the world to make the world a better place. If you can do that for me, it would be much appreciated. And I think all of us need prayer. Absolutely.
Considered it done. I'm going to pray for you as soon as we're done here. If people want to reach out to you and they want to contact you, maybe they need an incredible motivational speaker. Maybe they need a book. You know, I know you got Teachers Are Heroes book out there. And how can people reach out to you?
Well, simply they can go to teachersareheroes.com, teachersareheroes.com. And they can just simply send me an email through my actual website, or they can even send me a direct email just to simply Mark Anthony Garrett, two R's and two T's, markanthonygarrett@gmail.com.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Mark, for taking time to be on the Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. And many blessings to you and your family, and we'll be praying for you. And just thank you. Keep on keeping on, because you're changing many, many lives and bringing healing to so many people. So thank you.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. I want to thank you just for the honor to be on your phenomenal show, and thank you for what you do, too. Because you are an inspiration, you are a healer, and the world would not be the same if you weren't here. So thank you for all you do, and I will continue to pray for you and your listening audience. And to all those people listening, God bless all of you, and just keep doing what it is you're doing, and I hope to see all you guys at the very top.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for sharing your testimony and your hope and joy and laughter and healing with us. Wow! Did you get a lot of notes? Did you write those down? We need to start like a Twitter, like a hashtag Mark Says. Like, this is incredible. He has so many tidbits and nuggets of knowledge and tidbits of truth, I want to say. I love how he talks about loving ourselves. You know, God loves us and God values us and He created us. We're His masterpiece. If you're sitting there and, or you're driving right now, or you're listening and you're just thinking, I'm just not perfect. I'm not a 10 today. It's okay. You don't have to be perfect. There's nowhere in the Bible that God says, if you're going to read this, you have to be perfect. There is no one that is perfect. The only flesh and blood that walked this earth that was perfect was Jesus. So you can be a 5 today. You don't have to be a 10. You don't have to be an 8. Just love yourself where you are right now. Value yourself where you are right now. Enjoy this moment. Enjoy this second. Life is short. Love yourself. Love one another. But most importantly, love God. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth. The truth is, there is hope. Now let me have Victor, my son, tell you the same.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth, and the truth is, I love my teachers, even when they give me really hard tests.
Aw, Victor.
The truth is, there is hope.